A good place to start out is I'd like to acknowledge Jill for her passion and her conviction on the weight that she gives the word that she shared with us last week, because that is definitely a flagship into where we're going in the next couple. So she said that she talked about how the Bible is a book that changes you. And obviously we know that it's not the book itself, but it's, as she put it, the words, revelation, and love of God. It's really the expression of a person on the other end of the line that wants to meet with you where you're at. So in everything we're talking about, today I'm going to talk about prayer. Next week we're going to be talking about worship. In all of that, the point here is that he wants to connect with us. And when you have authentic connection with God, do you think that you will remain unchanged or untouched? No. And believe it. And that's really what I'm going to talk about today. There's a lot of things I'd love to share about prayer. I'd love to talk about some tools or some fun stuff or whatnot. And I'm going to talk about something that's so simple, I hope I don't ruin it. Because that's the real danger here. But it at least is the staple to everything about how I've come to look at prayer. So I'm going to start out with a verse actually that Jill shared last week too. Hebrews 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Let me say that last part again. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Sincerely seek him. Genuinely seek him. Depending on your translation, really the word is the same, but this is such a key. This is such a huge key because I gave my own definition that's totally way too complicated, and it's not going to be up there, but basically, to be genuine, sincere, is simple, transparent, eager, persistent desire. Take any of those words that spoke to you. Simple, transparent, eager, persistent desire. In other words, what he's really looking for when it comes to prayer, when it comes to connection, is he's looking for someone who wants to talk to him. He's looking for someone who's looking for him. It's not so much about what you did, didn't do. I mean, we could talk about tools, we could talk about patterns, we could talk about start your prayer with this, finish with this, all that stuff. You know what's going to make a way bigger difference? Is if you really want to connect with him or not. I know this isn't a formula, and I definitely don't want to get into formula thinking, but I want to start this off with, and I want to propose that in general, we won't really connect with God beyond the sincerity of heart that we come to him with. You want it? Go get it. Go get it. There is someone else on the other end of the line that really wants it. He really wants it. He really wants it. You know, it's coming to a point that sincerity could show up in so many ways, but like, really, it's like saying, you know what? There's a lot of answers, quote unquote, all around me in my circumstances. There's things I could think of to do in these situations. There's things that I'd like to see a certain way, but I have challenges. But sincerity of heart to come to him is being like, you know what? You have something that I feel is so worth asking for you. I'm going to keep asking. You yourself love like nothing I've ever seen before. So I'm going to keep seeking you because I want to know what that's like. I mean, show me what it's like to look at someone like you look at them, not like I look at them. I'm going to keep knocking because you say that those who are searching for you with a sincere heart, you will reward them. And I'm not wasting my time. That's the sincerity of heart. And the simple transparency of it, it's like you don't have to like spruce up or become so, you know, situated and like do this. Really, it's just like come exactly as you are, knowing that's where you're at, to who he is. So Jesus talked about this in Luke 18, and I don't have it up there in this particular story, but he talked about two men, and he talked about a tax collector, and he talked about a Pharisee, and both came to approach God. And the Pharisee said, hey, thank God that I'm not like other men, that I don't lie and cheat and steal and do all these things. And thank God I'm not like that tax collector. you know, I do this, and I do this, and I do this. And then there was the tax collector, that it says he wouldn't even necessarily approach without feeling something in his heart, without feeling sorrow in his heart, and he couldn't even look. And he just said, have mercy on me, a sinner, as he beat his chest in sorrow. And he walked away, and that's all there was. And which one was accepted? Sincerity of heart. Sincerity of heart. He knew exactly where he was at, and he knew exactly what he wanted. Connection. And he got it. He got it. You know, this is actually, I know sometimes, for me personally, at least I feel sometimes like, you know what, Lord? Today I don't really feel like hanging out with you like I did yesterday anyways. And I know that sounds so awful, but I'm not even going to make you raise your hand if you've thought something like that. For obvious reason. But you know, so it can even seem like a little weighty to be like, man, do I even want him enough? Like, am I really looking for him? Am I really looking for him? And I want to tell you, don't let that weight sit in, because here's the wonderful news about how he set this up, is that because he's looking for people who are looking for him, it doesn't matter if you've been a believer for 5 minutes or 50 years. He says, the one who gets the reward is the one who earnestly seeks me, who has that sincerity of heart. It doesn't matter if you did everything right yesterday, or if you managed your sin well, or if you did this or did that that's always been on your heart. Now, don't get me wrong, that's an expression of your desire towards him. But what he wants to see is like, hey, when it comes down to it, what do you absolutely want the most? Do you really want me? Then you can have me. I will connect. I will give a reward. That's great news. James 4:8 says, come close to God and he will come close to you. You know, even that desire, he works on that desire. Like, I used to think, like, Lord, how do you just like increase a desire like that organically? And we don't really do that. He does that. And so, in fact, it says in John 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And in the Amplified Version, it says, draws him and increases his desire for me. That's what he does. And I'm going to get into that here in a second. I'm a little excited about it, if you can't tell. But what's here and what's available because of what Jesus did, it's like he's not looking for like super goody two-shoes here. He's looking for people who just really want him, really want him. You know, with this fast, it says that, you know, physical training is of some value. But where you're going to really break through in this fast is if you look past all of the things that are right here. You just, I want you. Like, there's no answer that I'm looking for in my life that you don't have. There's no solution that I need that you can't make happen. Like, you are it. I'm not going to waste my time looking elsewhere. I'm going to acknowledge the gifts that you've given me because you gave them to me. To throw them out would be totally an insult to you. But you've got it. And I want to connect with you for it. Exodus 33:11. This is like this verse has really framed my prayer life and conversation life with God. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks with his friend. Simple. As one speaks with his friend. Basically, like every conversational scenario that you can picture with your friend that's like healthy conversation is totally what he's looking for. Not more complicated than that. You know, when you're sitting with a good friend and you, I've had a couple of these times, like in the last 6 months, I'll be sitting with a good friend and I'm looking at him when I'm talking to him and I'm like, man, this guy, it's like I had this instant appreciation. This guy has no idea how much I actually appreciate and value and love him. Like, I don't know if he'll ever know how grateful for him I am right now. That's exactly what he's looking for, someone who's looking for him. You know, it says, the second part of that verse says, Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Now, it doesn't say here, I mean, he might have had some responsibilities in the tent of meeting or something he actually had to do, but I like to believe that he was there because he saw something so real between Moses and God that he's like, I'll hang around for that. I want that too. And do you think that it's any surprise then of why he was so different than all the other Israeli leaders that went and scouted out the land? And why he was the one that led the armies to the promised land? Do you think it's any surprise? No. Because he just wanted it. That's it. It's good news that that is it. Like, he asks things of us, but, you know, I asked the Lord, why does this seem so hard? Like, why do you make this so hard? And what he said to me, he's like, why do you make this so hard? Just think about that. Okay, so I'm going to try to paint the picture of what it looks like when God increases our desire for him. And we're going to go to Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, the parable of the persistent widow. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" Okay, when I read this before, like that last one, how many will he find on earth who have faith? That just seemed like out of place to me for a while. I'm like, I get this story, and then I couldn't reconcile that statement. Another version says, will he find faith on the earth? Until I realized that that's in the context of the story that he just shared. So what he's saying is that you want to know what faith looks like? It's the woman who kept asking, even though she got ignored, she got, other versions say no, refused, even though she got from the surface level a no, she kept asking. And what on earth would make you keep asking when you already got a no? Something from inside is the only thing that you have to lean on at that point, because everything outside is saying no. Let me ask you this. If you got a no, what would you do? Most of us would probably just be like, got a no. We got to figure out a different solution, right? Now, let me ask you this. What do your kids do? Think about it. The heart of a child that's very, because we are the ones that get worn out, very likely we want to train them out of that. And then Jesus, to tell us about what faith looks like, gives us the same statement. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. He shared the same exact thing like 7 chapters earlier in chapter 11. He said that in a different story, he's like, you know, a man had some company come in, and he went to his friend in the middle of the night and knocked on his friend's door and was like, "Hey, I need 3 loaves of bread so that I can feed the company that came over," which is totally not that guy's problem, right? And the guy, of course, he's annoyed, and he says, like, "We are locked up, my family's in bed, like, door's locked, like, come back tomorrow." But what does he do? He keeps asking, keeps seeking, keeps literally knocking, and the guy eventually gets up and gives him the bread. Why? Because he wanted it so bad that he wouldn't leave it alone. That's the sincerity of heart I'm talking about. Do you want it so bad that you won't leave it alone? What's it worth to you? Real connection with him. What's it worth to you? I feel like even when I feel like I'm sold out and unreserved, he's like, as much as you know, anyways. And so he increases desire by giving us the gift of no, is what I'm going to call it. She got a bunch of no's. And what happens when everything is saying no, except for what's happening here? You have to rely on here. You're like, you know what? Everything's saying no. The only thing that I can rely on is to trust that you can make a difference. You really do have the authority. I'm going to keep asking because I need it so bad. And that's total honesty. I'm going to keep seeking because you're the one with authority that it can actually make the difference in my situation. And I'm going to keep knocking because I know I'm not wasting my time. You want to connect with me more than I even want to connect with you. And so the Lord, in the gift of no, what he does is, it's almost like he starts decreasing something in our life so that something else can increase. I was like, I was praying and I was talking to him about this, and he shared this with me. Basically, as you keep pursuing me, I will keep increasing you. And here's how he painted that picture. He's like, you know, when someone has like needs increase in their desire or in something in their life, I will frequently decrease where they're at, like, for example, financially, so that other things have to rise up to accommodate for it. Like a desperation or a desire out of the heart, or just being like, you know what, I obviously have not figured out the answer to this, but you have it. To tell you those things like, you don't have the answer, but God does. You have my solution. You have this. Because what does it do? What's it really raising up when something like that happens? When something decreases? It raises up the desire where you're just like, I have to figure out something. That's what it's raising up. Even with people, with relationships and stuff. You know, I heard a quote, or I saw a quote in like the last couple of weeks. And it said that there will be people who lift you up, and there will be people who tear you down. And in the end, you'll thank them both. Where do you get the wisdom to process that and actually see what's happening in the bigger picture here? You aren't going to have that wisdom, most likely, especially in the moment, unless he gives it to you. Like, you have the rationalization of everything that's going on in my life. If I want to reconcile something, that's the best place to start. So yes, I'm desperate. I want it. I want it so bad. I will hang on every single little word that you give me. If I have to keep asking, you know, maybe you don't even have to do anything different. Maybe to really connect with God, you don't need to, you know, start something different or whatnot. You just need to keep doing the same thing you've been doing and just believe that it's going to work eventually. Be like the persistent widow. She kept asking, kept asking, kept asking. And then what happened? She got it. Did she do anything different? No. Her faith was tested to a point where it's like, you know, Todd White, I listen to him every now and then. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. He has a lot of gifts in evangelism and healing and all that stuff. You know, he prayed for like 300 people before he finally saw healing. What would make you want to keep doing that when all you got was no's? When we pray over somebody and we don't see them healed, we're usually like, oh, God must want to do something different with them. Maybe he wants to do something different with you. Because what happens when you've got no, 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 and you keep asking for it? Then he's like, he really wants it. And it's not even that he wants that gift for his own power or whatnot, because obviously he's already thrown his ego out the door by asking so much. That desire grew within him. He's just like, no, God, I want more of you. Like, I know this is real and I want to see it. And I'm not going to let a no from man completely overwhelm my fragile little heart. So, increase happens. increase happens. I find that there's always something wonderful happening in your life, and sometimes some of the best things, like things we're learning, are really, really good things, but we have things like pride attached to them, or we have things like just a reliance on those tools or whatnot rather than on God. And what has to happen is that Jesus kind of put it this way. He's like, the seed, there has to be a plant that dies so the seed can fall to the ground and grow up something different. It's the same kind of plant. It started with that seed, but you know what died when the plant died? The pride that was attached with it. The lack of trust in God that was attached with it. He will give us a decrease. The gift of no. He'll give us a decrease, not because he wants at all to decrease us. It's in his kindness that he does it. But so that we can increase where, honestly, we're longing for it. And the only way we have the wisdom to really see the big picture of what he's doing with all of that is to just be like, God, you have to tell me. Not necessarily the whole picture, but give me something to go off of where I know this is you. He's got the wisdom already. He already knows that everything he's doing for you is good and kind and right. We're the ones that don't. I was totally humbled this week. My son has a knack for the things that he says. I don't know where he gets this, but I really believe that I'm in this season where I'm starting to see where the Lord is like sharing things with him, and he's speaking out of his own of what he's hearing. And you know, so coming back to work this week, Emmett had a couple weeks off of school, and I asked him, "Hey, are you excited to go back to school?" And he's like, "Yeah, super excited. I can't wait to see all my friends." And I ask him the kind of heavier question, "Are you excited to see your teacher?" Because he has a little bit of conflict with his teacher, because she's always on his case to where he like gets distracted on certain things, or he hyper-focuses, or he's a perfectionist in his writing and all of his stuff. So, you know, he feels that tension there. And you know what he said to me? He's like, "Yeah, I'm excited to see her. I make a point to give her a hug every single day, whether I feel like it or not, because I know it's good." It's a six-year-old. It's a six-year-old. And I'm processing all these things in my life, and I'm a hugging guy, you know, but I'm processing all these things in my life of where I'm just like, God really has no problem decimating your idea of what things should look like so that you can increase. Because when you increase, he's not just increasing you, he's increasing everyone. I'm not talking about bigger, better. I'm talking about getting closer to God, having a better family, having a stronger life. Everything he wants for you. Remember, you spend time with a book, you're getting changed. Not because of the book, but because of the author. When you spend time in prayer, it's not your specific meditation that's changing you. It's the fact that the presence of God is right there, and he's been wanting to meet with you the whole time. And you showed up. I'm going to finish with a quick story. And do you guys remember Carl Tinian, who came, he spoke here, I think, a couple months ago or so from England. And he talked about spreading the aroma of the fragrance of God. And so he had bread cooking, and you could smell it in the sanctuary. Okay, well, before he came, I was just talking with Andy, because he was Andy's leader slash mentor for quite a while. And I was talking with Andy. Andy shared a series of stories with me. And there was a couple of things in those stories that just really stood out to me. Like they sank in my spirit, like there was something that I wanted to like follow up on. You know when there's a connection there and And you don't want to leave it undone because you feel like it's something you're supposed to look into, and it weighs on you even. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I'd like some time with him. And so Andy was kind of like his quote-unquote manager while he was here and set out his time and all that, and he set some time aside for me. So when Carl came, I had about an hour with him for coffee. And I know not everybody's perfect, but and I'm going to speak very highly of him here because I want to. But I had about an hour of coffee with him, and our initial conversation of, like, you know, going down to Joe's and getting some coffee and whatnot was, you know, very shallow. Then as soon as we had our coffee and we could actually dig in, we sat at the table and I said, okay, I know you don't know me, but I feel like you have something to say to me, and I'm going to ask you a lot of really deep questions in the next hour, and I'm going to put a lot of weight on the words that you say to me. Are you ready? And he's like, yeah. Why not? And so we dig in, and I ask him some, truthfully, what would be a lot of awkward questions to people. He handled it like a champ. And what happened is, like, half or two-thirds of the way through it, he gets a word for me from the Lord. And he shares it with me, and I know instantly that that's exactly why I was supposed to connect. Like, that's what was lingering when I heard those two things when Andy was telling me those stories before. And it was such a key for my processing in this season. It's not because anybody did anything special. It just wanted it. You don't have to be so level on Christian or whatever you want to call it. You don't have to be a believer for 20 years to hear the voice of God fresh and right there. Just want it. Sincerely, eagerly, persistently. Know that when you're asking the one who knows it all. You're seeking the one who has the character for everything you want. And you're knocking because it says that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, and you're not wasting your time. Even if you get a no, or you feel like he's ignoring you. Does that actually mean he's ignoring you? No. Doesn't mean he's ignoring you at all. Just feels like it. But if you keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, that's where the reward is, in connection with him. Are you looking for it? That's why Jesus spoke in parables. He says it so that those who aren't really looking for me, they'll hear it plainly, but they won't necessarily understand it. But those who really want it, the truth will unfold like a flower for them, and they'll get it. Lord, thank you for making it that simple for us, that it doesn't have to be about our performance of whether you'll speak to us or not. And you still want to meet with us. You still want to meet with us. And you have so much life to breathe into us and to give to our souls, and our souls do thirst for you. And make it all the more, Lord. If you decrease in my life and in our lives, whatever is necessary that we could see the increase of just straight up desire for you. Even if that's all it is, if we don't see anything else manifest but that, we know our whole lives will change. Let that be so here for all these people right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, let's stand and continue to worship this morning. Thank you, Nick. Are you ready to persist, to press in? You know, this next song that we have, I've kind of gone back and forth on it a little bit myself, because it has this line in every chorus and every verse that says, "You've never failed me yet." And maybe you're in the same boat, because I've talked with some people about this, and it's like, there's this sense of, well, you haven't done it yet, but, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe today.
Right? Maybe today's the day. No. Look at the